Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's so good to be back on another Sunday. Pastor Jazz did a phenomenal job last week preaching the word, and we really love Jazz. Appreciate all his insight and hard work. We're going to continue on in the theme we've been looking at with our book, 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp. And in this chapter, she talks about an intimacy with God. And I'll touch on that as we prepare for communion. You know, I've read through the chapter, and for some reason, I thought about God's people in the Old Testament, especially during the time when right before they were going into exile, you had the kings of Judah, the kings of Israel. Some of them were doing great. Most of them were doing lousy. And I want to do a character study with you this morning about a young man named Josiah. And I believe you will be inspired as you listen to the story of Josiah. So let's study this out together. Let's pray. Father and God, thank you for this opportunity to get into your word, dear God, to study your word, to meditate on your word. I pray, dear God, that it just won't be a Bible study, but it'll be a time of spiritual transformation. We love you, Father, and we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen. The title of this message is Resolution, Revival, and Restoration. Resolution, Revival, and Restoration. Starting in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Now, there's a lot to unpack in that opening paragraph. Judah was not doing well. Josiah's father, Amon, had been assassinated. His grandfather, Manasseh, was a very evil leader. So you had a succession of evil kings sitting on God's throne, leading God's people. Well, this boy gets on the throne, and he's 8 years old. And what does the Bible say about that? That he reigned 31 years and did what was right in the sight of the Lord. You know, as men and women who follow God, or even as we think about having a relationship with God, we need to think about, are we living the right way in God's eyes? It's not about our family. It's not about our friends. It's not even about the church. It's really about, is God pleased with the way that we're walking? You know, Josiah chose to walk behind a man named David. Now, it says his father David, but really David was a forefather. Josiah, at the tender age of 8, had heard about David and said, that is how I want to live. You know, to my young adults who are watching, to my teenagers who are watching, who are you imitating? Who are you imitating? You know, we have a lot of social influencers. We have a lot of people out there who are vying for our time, for our attention. And really, we got to think about decisions that we make. And we're at the top of the year, and a lot of us are making resolutions. Resolutions are decisions about how we're going to live. It may be I want to exercise more. It may be I want to lose weight. It may be I want to be more responsible with my finances. You know, all of us are making some type of decisions, but hopefully we're making spiritual decisions. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the world. And that's for all of us. It's so easy to get caught up in the world. It's so easy to allow our environment to be an excuse as to why we're not doing well spiritually. Because we can easily take our cues from other people. But you know, I want to encourage my young adults, especially my young Christians, imitate Josiah's heart. Josiah looked around for the most spiritual person he could find. And at the age of 8, he decided who he wanted to be. I can remember becoming a young Christian and looking around the fellowship and deciding, this is who I'm going to be. I did not just want to be a church attender. I just not just want to sit in the pews. And I looked and I saw a guy named Anthony. And every time I saw this dude, he was out studying the Bible with people. I saw another guy named Frank Davis. Frank Davis was working hard. He would be up early and gone all day and stay up late at night, just working hard. I saw a guy named Sam Powell. He was a married man who loved his wife and loved his children and loved the church. And I said, you know what? That's what I want to be. That is who I want to be. And you know, right now, we can make decisions about who we are going to be in our relationship with God. So what we can imitate from Josiah's life is making a decision to be our best for God. Now, some people may say, well, I don't believe in imitating. I want to be an original. Listen, we all are imitations of somebody. Somebody influences us. And in the right spirit, nothing's wrong with imitating. You know, the Apostle Paul said, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. If someone is following first of all, we all follow Christ. That's number one. We follow Christ. But then we should be able to say to family, to friends, to the lost who are seeking the Lord, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Well, I was talking to a gentleman, you know, just asking him how he was doing spiritually. And he was saying, well, you know, I really don't get involved in other people's spiritual lives. You know, I just try to manage my own life. I said, I hear you. But if you're a Christian, you got to get involved. That's the Great Commission. Jesus says in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. If I am in the Christian community, I got to get involved with other people. That's Christianity. But it starts with me making a decision as to who I'm going to be in my walk with God. It starts with you making a resolution of who you're going to be in your walk with God. Why is that important? Well, let's continue to look on at Josiah's life, and I believe we'll be able to flesh out why that was important. In the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in the presence, and in the incense altars which were above them, he cut it down. And the wooden images, the carved images, the molded images, he broke into pieces and made dust of them and scattered them on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, as far as Nephthah, and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, he had beaten the carved images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. It's a lot going on here. Josiah, 8 years old, he's on the throne. In his eighth year of being king, he's probably a teenager, 16 years old. Now, at that point in time, Josiah was in charge. And if you know anything about ancient history, young men, young women could sit on the throne. Josiah was at the age of having a harem. He was at the age of having concubines. He was at the age of having multiple wives. In that era, at 16, he was a full-grown man. He was king. He could have spent his time trying to conquer other people. He could have spent his time trying to amass hordes and hordes of gold and silver. But he said, you know what? It's time for revival. Josiah looked around. his people and said, we're not doing good. We have all these false gods. This was God's people. And they had assimilating the gods around them into the temple, into their community, into their homes, outside of their homes. And Josiah saw that and said, no, it is time for revival. See, once we make a decision who we are going to be in our relationship with God, our decision impacts other people. And Josiah, in his 20s, one man decided, we, not just me, but we need to be our best for God. You know, the world is lost. And we can look at the Bible and we can say, what was wrong with God's people? How could they have gotten so caught up in idolatry? Brothers and sisters, living in America, we're not that different. We have a lot of idols. We have the idols of the flesh. We have the idols of lust. We have the idols of money. We have the idols of pleasure. We have the idols of leisure. We have the idols of entertainment. And I'll be honest with you, some of us probably got pretty caught up these last couple of years chasing other idols and not being in tune with our relationship with God. How are you doing? I had to take inventory of my own spiritual life, and I had to ask myself, where am I in my passion, in my zeal, in my love, in my commitment for God? What is vying for my love for God? Revival. Hey, we don't need to get down on ourselves. We don't need to feel bad. We don't need to get discouraged. We don't need to get disheartened. We need to repent. And when we make that decision, that resolution that we want to know God, then something ignites in our hearts and in our lives. And guess what? We are on the road to revival. And I don't know about you, but right now I believe this country needs revival. And it's going to be spiritual men and women who stand up and who say, enough is enough. No more compromise. We are going to obey and do what God wants us to do. You know, God's people got off track, and they were so far off track that they started what God's saying, practicing the detestable practices of the people around them. Josiah's grandfather got so far out there spiritually that he was worshiping the god Molech. And the god Molech was this statue, and the people would heat it up, and it would be red hot, and then they would put their infant babies in Molech's arms. And they would be dancing and singing and worshiping Molech as the baby is burning up. You got to be pretty sick spiritually to kill a baby and think you are worshiping a god? Child sacrifice. You know, anytime a nation sacrifices its children, the weak, the vulnerable, those who should be protected, they're on a slippery slope. And I dare say, even in our country today, we're not protecting our children the way we need to. There needs to be a revival. And you know, the beauty of revival, when we take the time out to embrace God and make those decisions that we want to change, we start seeing amazing events transpire. So, you know, first of all, it starts with us making that decision, that resolution to seek God. And then after we make that decision to seek God, to be our best for God, there is this revival. And once there is a revival, there's restoration. Josiah's repentance led God's people, a whole people who had been led astray by weak, unspiritual kings. Now he was leading them back to God. You know, I love what transpired here as they were restoring the temple. The people were so unspiritual that God's temple was in disarray. So it says, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the temple, he said, Shaphan, the son of Amihaza, Maaseiah, the governor of the city, Joah, the son of Jahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord, his God. When they came to Hilkiah, the priest. Now they came to the priest and they say, hey, Josiah sent us here and here's money so we can repair the house of the Lord. Here's money to fix God's temple. Hilkiah said, all right. So they brought him the money and Hilkiah said, by the way, I found the book of the law given by Moses. Hilkiah was the high priest. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. So Shaphan carried the book to the king, bringing the king the word, saying, all that we committed to your servants, they are doing. And they have gathered the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered into the hands of the overseers and the workmen. So he said, hey, king, you told us to go to take this money. We delivered it to the priest, Hilkiah, and, you know, the repairs are going well. Then Shaphan said something that's very interesting. Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So he was like, now, the priest had told him it was the word of the law. It was God's word. But there was so little regard for the word of God. Shaphan said, oh, yeah, we did this, we did this, we did this. We delivered, we obeyed, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, by the way, he gave me a book. Okay, and Shaphan read it before the king. Thus it happened when the king heard the word of the law, he tore his clothes. In that era, for a king to rip his garments and put ashes on his head, it was a sign of repentance. It was a sign of brokenness. Thus it happened when the king heard the word of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded all those men in his court, go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book. They lost the word of God. God's chosen people lost his word. And they were like, oh, we found a book. Now we can look at them and shake our heads and say, they were so unspiritual. How can God's people lose the word? You know, it's not hard to do. We can't be too critical of them. God has blessed us with a beautiful building. There's been so many sacrifices. There's been so much hard work. However, it is a waste of time, a waste of resources, if we're not going to be people of the book. For those of you who are watching virtually, thank you so much for tuning in. But tuning in for an hour on Sunday, it's not going to make a difference in your life if you're not a person of the book. And what do I mean? The Bible has got to be the standard. The church is not the standard. Feelings is not the standard. Emotions not the standard. Our environment, society cannot be the standard. And there's a lot of confusion going on right now. And we live in a world that is filled with hate, vengeance, and anger. And it's really sad when Christians get so distracted by the world that we aren't living out the calling for which God has given us. I challenge each and every one of us, the year is young, let's make some resolutions and let those spiritual resolutions lead us to revival, because the more our hearts and spirits are revived, then guess what? We can see restoration, not just for ourselves, but for our family and our friends. I want to close out with chapter 11 of what Anne Voskamp said in her book, 1,000 Gifts, the joy of intimacy. We cannot have true intimacy with God if we don't have true restoration. We cannot have intimacy with God without true restoration. In chapter 11, God is love everywhere, everything. And he can only be loved because he exists in triune relationship. Before I ever breathed or the earth ever spun, the love within the Godhead orbited, Father loving Son before the creation of the world. And when I am in union with Christ, I am too lavish with the love the Father has for the Son. God is relationship, and he woos us to relationship, and there is nothing with God if there is no relationship. But the relationship is based on a standard, and the standard is the Word of God. As we take communion, I want us to rededicate ourselves, resolve that we are going to be people who are living for God. It doesn't matter what family is doing, what friends are doing, what the church is doing, what the church ain't doing, that we as individuals will be people who live for God, and that there will be a revival in our lives, and that we will allow God's Spirit to permeate through us, and then we will revive others. And then more and more and more people will be restored back to God. As we take communion right now, I want us to think of the words of the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you right now. And yes, God, it has been a turbulent time for some of us spiritually, in our personal lives. It's definitely been a turbulent time in the church, in society, God. It's been a lot. And yet, God, as Josiah, as an 8-year-old, made a decision to seek you, I believe we can imitate his spirit. As a teenager, he made a decision to be righteous. I believe we should imitate his spirit. In his 20s, he initiated revival. I pray we imitate that spirit, which is really the same spirit that was in your son, Jesus, that he came on this earth, he lived, he died, and he was resurrected so that we could have a relationship with you. Thank you so much, dear God, for the body that was broken, for the blood that was shed, for this communion we get to share in that is a reminder, dear God, of your love for us. I pray that we do not take it in vain. And we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.